Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part two.
I'm Greg Wyshynski of ESPN and ESPN.com and ESPN Plus, your home for all things hockey this year. If you haven't signed up for the bundle, folks, I'd do so. All the hockey games are going to be on ESPN Plus, and you get Baby Yoda, and you get the mysterious cult guru that Nicole Kidman played on Nine Perfect Strangers on Hulu. You get all the things, Ryan.
Did you watch that?
I didn't finish that. I really aggressively didn't like it after about three or four episodes. Yeah.
Is it like a sequel to Perfect Strangers from the 80s?
Yes.
I watched the hell out of that.
When I made that joke, my girlfriend was like, "What are you talking about?"
The big reveal in episode six is she reveals her name is Belinda Bartokomus. And we're all like, "What?"
Well, so Nicole Kidman is talking with an inscrutable, it's supposed to be a Russian accent, but it's just like, yeah, I don't think that's that.
It's not good. Like, I like a good prestige TV show, and I like most of the actors in the show. I really love Michael Shannon. I thought he was pretty good on the show.
Oh, wonderful.
But I think it's just one of those deals, and this happened with us when they bought back The Affair on Showtime, which was a show that we really liked too. You know, it's been a rough kind of year, and there's only so much trauma porn you can watch on television. It's the same reason I didn't get into The Leftovers. Like, there's only so much I could deal with that this show just became like, do I really want to go on this journey of personal anguish with characters I don't really care about? And the answer was no.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about the Leafs season.
Oh, I guess Greg, add that to the list of stuff we're going to talk about, that nasty Amazon show.
Oh, okay. Yes, I shall. Who are you, Ryan, again?
Oh, I'm Ryan Lambert, Elite Prospects, EPRinkside.com, etc.
I'm Sean Magnew from The Athletic.
There you go. And you're in Puck Suit. For the first time in a while on the main feeds, mm-hmm. if you're like, hey, where did the show go? It's been on the Patreon. The way we work it is if we don't have advertising then on the main show, then we'll take the main show to the Patreon during the off season. Obviously, when it's in season, I mean, we've got to trudge ahead and just give the people what they want. But in the off season, it's like, you know, if we don't have ads, we're going to, you know, bring it to the people on the Patreon who are nice enough to subscribe.
So Greg, we're back. Greg has had a full month to work on his ad transitions, so expectations should be sky high.
Yeah.
Best of the season, a lot of people are saying.
We're hearing it more and more.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the great thing about an ad transition before the season is that, you know, everybody's got no losses and got no wins. Whatever I do, it's going to be the best that I've done for 2021-22. You're completely right. Today's episode... No, I'm not going to hit this. I can't hit it this early.
No way. No way.
Gotta wait. Gotta keep it in my pants, as it were, for a little bit.
Let's just talk about that Leafs show now. It sucked, right? It wasn't good.
Well, here... Okay, real quick. So, I didn't think it sucked. I actually thought it was shot really well. And I really liked the innovation of having Will Arnett as the narrator be a fan.
It got a little too much.
It did, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it being a little bit more... I enjoyed it more than, like, having some guy trying to sound like Liev Schreiber being like, the Pittsburgh Penguins are on the road again. Like, I'd rather have Will Arnett do it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I, like I said, I liked it. It just, after a while, it was like, yeah, we get it.
Like, so what didn't you like about the show?
It just felt like nothing was fucking happening for nine episodes, or however many, what did they do, six episodes?
I think it was six, yeah.
So for five of them, you were just going like, okay, get to the car crash part. Like, we know all this stupid bull. Oh, no, frickin' Freddie Anderson hurt again. Who gives a shit? I know all this. And that's the problem with these shows, right? Is that for the ones that aren't 24/7, which they're producing week of every single week for up to the Winter Classic, right? we know everything that happens. And, like, I don't need to see, like, Kyle Dubas really frowning and going, I really did wish we didn't have to put Jimmy Vesey on waivers, but, hey, that's business. And it's like, who fucking cares? Just get to the fucking playoffs. We don't need any of this shit.
But the problem is that you're somebody who knows the boat sinks, right? And, like, the idea is that you're supposed to enjoy all of the little side quests and the new, you know, coloring that we get around some of the things that happen to the team. For example, like, I found the whole thing about Austin Matthews saying we played too safely to be really, really interesting very early in that season. Because to me, that was like a blip on the radar, but it evidently was like a fucking seismic shift inside the organization when he said that. Like, they held a fucking meeting about it. So I liked all that kind of stuff. I think I'm with you that I wish there was more of it during the episodes leading up to the Big Bang at the end. But when, once we got to the fireworks factory, the fucking Tavares stuff was incredible, and the loss to the Canadiens was incredible. It was worth the journey to get to that point. I felt
could have been one episode.
Did you watch it, Sean?
No.
Attaboy. Oh. Good for you.
Is there a reason why?
I have a guess.
Yeah. It's because I also know how it ends. I just have no appetite right now to relive that season in a ton of detail. I said a few weeks ago that I would kind of wait and see what the reviews were. If the reviews said this is amazing, then yeah, I'd sit down and watch it. I might still. But the reviews that I did see were pretty good, pretty positive, but nothing that made me say, okay, I've got to carve out a 5-hour chunk of my day or whatever to watch this whole thing. We'll see. Maybe I'll get there, but as people know, I'm not a huge TV guy anyway, so it sounds to me like this series did what we knew it would probably do, which is try to thread the needle between being interesting enough to be worth watching, but not so interesting that it creates problems for the organization. And yeah, I mean, you're already hearing certain things, you know, certain players didn't like this or that, or, you know, did we see too much of this? If they had actually done what they obviously expected to do and gone on a bit of a run, this could have been a really interesting exercise over the course of the whole show. Instead, we got from the sounds of it, a really interesting car crash in the final episode. But I don't know. I'm not all that eager to relive that car crash, to be honest with you.
And it's a real catch 22. I'm sorry. It's a real catch 22 because, like, if they win the cup, like, every Leaf fan is watching this. They lose in the first round with a catastrophic injury to one of their star players.
Yeah.
You're like, who's this for? Like, who's watching the show?
And if they win the cup, it also becomes a great story for the people who have no knowledge or interest in hockey, which I think is part of what they're going for. They being right. Amazon at this point.
For right? Sure.
Like, but I mean, look, either can be good. You know, the Last Dance works great and they win at the end. The Malice at the Palace thing is maybe not as good, but it still works pretty well knowing that it's a bad ending and the whole thing falls apart. You know, either one of those can give you a good story. And I mean, at least, hey, I mean, if the producers of this probably went into it going, well, I hope they don't lose in the second round, you know, let it be one of the two, let it be the monster around the corner gets them again, or let it be that they slay the dragon and they got one of those.
Yeah,
they did, but they did. I don't know. I've heard from a lot of Leaf fans who are like, I just can't. I don't see why I would want to sit down and watch it. And other ones, I'm sure, are enjoying it just fine.
What'd you think, Ryan?
Two things definitely stood out to me. The trade deadline show is pretty interesting, but they also are like, this is for like the non-hockey fans, I think, but they're like, holy fuck, the Leafs got Nick fucking Foligno. Look out. Oh my, like, they spend a good like 5 minutes going, you won't believe how good Nick Foligno is. And I'm sitting there going, no, I feel like I'd believe it. And then, of course, he immediately gets hurt and blah, 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 and, you know, whatever.
Right. Right.
And then the other thing that really stood out to me is, to Sean's point about, like, oh, they were clearly planning on this being a bit of a playoff run. They get eliminated in the show. They're like, show's over, leave, get out, close the Amazon app on your TV.
Yeah. Right?
This shit is done. There's no deconstruction at all.
Which is frustrating, because the week after that would have been arguably as interesting as anything that happened during the season. You know,
100%.
Like,
I would have loved to have seen cameras in the room where Dubas and Shanahan decide that we're going to go in front of the media and we're going to say we're not changing anything right off the bat. Like, I want to see that conversation and the fallout from that and the exit interviews and all of that, but clearly not.
It ends on Austin Matthews kind of like holding his head in his hands and Kyle Dubas going, boy, these guys are pissed off and sad. And then the show's over. Like, it's wild that was their decision on ending the show. But,
well, that probably wasn't a decision, right? It was probably something in a contract somewhere that said your access ends.
Oh, sure. No, I understand that. But it's like, there was just no further deconstruction at all, you know? And I was just like, oh, I guess the show's over.
Future, you know, whoever's producing the next one of these, get it in writing that you get to stick around for a week after the season.
They also kind of implied that they might do it again next year. I don't think they will, but
they meant they meant losing the first round.
Yeah,
they didn't
win
the show. real quick, that I could have done with more Jack Campbell. Like, the emotional journey of Jack Campbell was probably the most intriguing character study on the show. I really enjoyed meeting Austin Matthews' parents at the gun range. I thought that was really kind of interesting. I could have done with more of that.
I could have done with more of Austin Matthews' dog. That dog rocked.
Like the Austin Matthews stuff was actually pretty good. In service of learning more about him, it worked. And then, again, like the classic thing that we always talk about when we talk about movies, Ryan, is like, don't show me a movie within your movie that I'd rather see. And I realized during, like, the first or second episode, I'd much rather be watching a Joe Thornton documentary than watch the show.
Yeah.
Like, he's just the greatest.
Yeah, he rocks.
All right, switching gears, we got a glimpse behind the scenes on the All or Nothing show. We got a glimpse behind the scenes of, well, the nefarious side of the NHL, courtesy of Robin Lehner this week. Obviously, the biggest news in hockey right now is Lehner going on a Saturday night Twitter rant, upwards of 12 or 13 tweets, ostensibly to help Jack Eichel in his struggle against the Buffalo Sabres, the impasse over what kind of surgery he should get. But it quickly devolved into Lehner making accusations against unidentified NHL teams regarding them pushing pills on players, including Ambien without prescriptions. He went on to kind of implicate Alain Vigneault and the Philadelphia Flyers in the rant, although in a clumsy way, was simply trying to talk about how he was a dinosaur and tough on his players, to which Vigneault then responded to the rant on Monday. And then by the end of Monday, 48 hours into the news cycle, we're not even talking about Jack Eichel. We're talking about Robin Lehner, Alain Vigneault, and the accusations about painkiller abuse. Lehner talks to the NHL and the NHLPA. He says he has constructive conversations with both in a press conference on Tuesday, and then says that his advocacy on this matter is going to be behind closed doors. I'm looking forward to help in a more private matter, and he's looking to effect change, and the only way to do it is in a non-public fashion. Sean, I'll start with you. What was your reaction to the affair Lehner over the weekend?
I mean, it's certainly interesting. It's an issue that should be brought to light. I don't think, in one sense, I don't know that he's telling us anything that we didn't know or at least suspect, but that it's still important that somebody put it out in the public. At the same time, you got to be careful with this stuff. If you're going to be throwing bombs like this, then you've got to be careful with what you're saying, and you know, the Alain Vigneault stuff doesn't sound like he was, which is frustrating, because that ends up sometimes overshadowing the other pieces. Look, at the end of the day, you know, Robin Lehner seems to sincerely believe that as a result of this, the NHL and the NHLPA are listening. I did think it was very interesting that he spent a lot of his, I don't know if I'd say a rant, but a lot of his airing of complaints, a lot of his thread was aimed at the NHLPA, not the NHL, which is what a lot of us kind of look at this and say, like, yeah, we can all be mad at Gary Bettman. That's what we do. But what about the Players Association here? He seems to feel like they're taking him seriously and change is coming. I can't imagine that anyone who has paid any attention to this league over the years is going to give them any credit for anything until we actually see it. Because the MO for this league on many things over the years is to act like you're interested, act like you want to make change, and then stall and run out the clock and wait for our attention as hockey fans to focus somewhere else. And I don't think we are being wrong or cynical to assume that that's also going to be the playbook here, but we'll see. Maybe they will surprise us. Maybe they will really look into this. If we find out that suddenly people are leaving organizations, then that'll be a good sign that somebody actually did want to find out the truth. If that doesn't happen, then, you know, maybe this was just a case of let's get Robin to shut up and wait for this to go away.
What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I think that's right. The thing I found funny about it, I guess, was that he was like, if they don't call me ASAP to talk about this, I'm just going to put it all on Twitter.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
his phone started ringing immediately, it seems like.
Yep.
I guess the reason for that would be that's because what he was saying is mostly true, I think. maybe not in the specifics, but certainly in the broad strokes that they're just like handing out these pills like they're candy and blah blah blah. Like, I don't think anybody, to Sean's point, I don't think anybody could reasonably be surprised or you know, whoa, this is crazy, wow. No, everybody knows that this is what goes on, and you saw that in the number of former pros who were like, yeah, pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's yeah, it's just not anything surprising, except that somebody like broke the Cosa Nostra of it all, you know.
Couple things. First off, I just like when we talk about the mental health stuff with other players, especially during the pandemic, kind of coming out and discussing the things that they went through and how tough it's been. I really fucking wish that we could have gotten to this point years earlier. Like, we're talking about saving lives as far as being able to have gotten to this point years earlier. And I give Lehner all the credit in the world for coming out and being this open, not only about this issue, but everything that he's gone through as a player. But, man, it's just such a bummer that it took this long to get to a place where someone like him feels supported and gets heard by the people that can affect change. Because if this was 5 years ago, it would have been shut up and play. Like, it would have been, you're the starting goalie of a cup contender. What the fuck are you doing distracting your team? Like, right. that's five years ago.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think he feels supported, or do you think he has fuck you money now? Because I kind of think it's the latter. Like, I'm serious.
No, I think he feels supported. I think, you know, first of all, he's got a lot of people in the media that listen to him.
Sure.
I mean, he is in contact with everybody that you would think he needs to be in contact with to get his message out there. He's in contact with them, okay? So, like, he definitely has a platform, right? As far as the fuck you money aspect of it, I mean, sure, I'm sure that's part of it. Is, you know, he's got some wind in his sails, he's got some stability now with the Vegas Golden Knights, and he's in a good place and all that stuff. But I also just think that he knows that via his platform and via where the people are in NHL fandom in 2021, like, he can put that out there and rally people to the cause and bring awareness to something and not simply just, you know, throw it out in the ether and it just doesn't get a reaction. Like, I think he knows that the timing is right to really use his platform and the momentum of, you know, people worried about these players' physical and mental health to really affect change. I found one thing really, really interesting in his press conference on Tuesday, and it didn't get a lot of play. Because Akeem Aliyu commented on Lehner bringing this up and talking to the NHL and basically said, you know, as Sean said, good luck. You know, like, you know, these are not people that necessarily follow through on the things they say they're going to follow through with. And in Aliyu's case, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, we're still
2 years ago.
Bill Peters' investigation to get wrapped
nothing's
up.
Nothing's happened. Yep.
Yeah, nothing's happened there. Ron Francis is the GM of the Kraken. All that stuff. Yeah, we know. Lehner kind of called him out for that in sort of differentiating his approach with Aliyu's approach and saying, like, the reason he's going behind closed doors with the NHL and the NHLPA and trying to work with these guys is he feels that is much more effective than, I think he said, like, coming in with, like, a hatchet or something is how he...
Yeah. Do you think that was aimed at Aliyu, or do you think that
completely.
Was... That was more of a completely. Reference to ex-players and concussion lawsuits and things like that.
No, I think because he mentioned, I think that was in context with a question about Aliyu's comments about the process that the NHL has. So I thought that was really interesting. I mean, again, like he's a very honest guy, and to say there's a right way and a wrong way to do this, it was interesting. I guess the my interest in the comment was less about the. Like criticism of another critic than it was, let's face it, if he doesn't come out on a Saturday night and thread together 12 tweets about players abusing painkillers and bring it out in the public and call out the NHL, he's not having these conversations on a constructive level. So in a way, he bought the hatchet, right? Like, I mean, let's be honest. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy there, maybe a little bit, but also it was interesting to see him draw the contrast.
Yeah, I mean, you can't threaten the hatchet and then say
criticize
that,
others for bringing
like say that you got love. Results because you didn't use it. Yeah, I it's tough. I mean, it's if he gets results, then I won't worry too much about the methods.
Right, and then the last
Let's
thing is
I
talked to a couple players this week, and I know the sense I get is that. Look, we've all been fans for a really long time, and we know that the sport that we cheered for and the players that we cheered for did some really disgusting things, you know, as far as concussions, as far as player safety, as far as, like, not recognizing a guy getting his brain scrambled and just being like, he's got bats in his belfry, get back out there, kind of shit. Like, we all understand with the benefit of hindsight how disgusting this sport has been to its players. I think where it's improved in talking to a couple of the guys is in education. Like, I really do think that a lot of these players understand now the dangers of self-medicating and things like that, and the signals of painkiller abuse and things like that in a way that they certainly didn't, you know, 15 years ago. So if you're looking for a silver lining on where the game is, yeah, it's still a place where Robin Lehner needs to speak up and make sure the NHL steps in so teams aren't giving unprescribed drugs to their players. But at least the players now are taking a little bit more agency in knowing that what they should and shouldn't put in their bodies. Well, except for the vaccine. I kind of feel like if you know, we put Ambien abuse documentaries on YouTube, then they'd all know, like the same ones watching Plandemic. But that's where we are. I guess last thing on this is, like, do you believe that the NHL is going to follow through on it?
I think that they may, maybe not publicly, but they're going to be like, well, look, for a little while, at least they're going to have to be like, well, look, we gotta ixnay on the, Enzo Bays, you know, but
yeah, they'll follow through. Like, there will be some memo will go out to the teams, reminding them of the policies already in place about not doing this, and that memo will get leaked immediately to the media so that we can all say that the NHL is doing something. As I said, if they actually look into what teams have been doing this and anyone is held accountable, then I'll be impressed, and I'll give them credit for that. If they just say, hey, going forward as a reminder, don't do this and that's the end of it, then we'll know what the goal was from the start.
Yeah, I just hope that they, you know, they do something, they just don't, like, lounge around. Speaking of lounging, today's episode of Puck Soup is sponsored by Brooklinen.
I was wrong.
You know, folks, Brooklinen, we've talked about them on the show for a very long time. They have incredible, incredible stuff for your bed. Like the kind of stuff that you put on your bed and you don't want to get out of the bed because it feels so darn comfy. Well, guess what? You can walk around in that comfort too. Brooklinen has an amazing collection of tees, tanks, and sweats just to get the new you and your new lease on life of leisure. It's like wearing a comforter all day. You can get button-free, zipperless, soft clothing options. And let me tell you something right now. The sweats and such, incredible. Like, literally just kind of like throw them on, hop on the couch, binge something, and you're feeling good about life. Brooklinen has been listening to what we all need the most. They responded with ultra-comfy loungewear at a fair price. The loungewear has classic cuts, no zippers, for limitless comfort that you can pull off in real life. So you can luxuriate in coziness all day. That's a goal. Brooklinen offers bundled deals on loungewear so you can get more comfortable for less money. And if you're looking for more ways to enhance your comfort, check out Brooklinen's candles, eye masks, and accessories to properly celebrate your chill. There's a reason why Brooklinen has over 75,000 five-star reviews and counting, or 74,999 more in this podcast. So go get comfortable, get it for less at Brooklinen. Go to brooklinen.com, brooklinen.com. Use promo code PUCK to get $20 off of a minimum purchase of $100. That's $20 off, minimum purchase of $100 at brooklinen.com, promo code PUCK. That's brooklinen.com. And that promo code? Well, it's PUCK. Named for the scurrilous bike messenger from the real world San Francisco.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Turns out that was the case the entire time. Evander Kane. Back in the news. Continuing our run of great NHL news.
Finally, this guy's involved in a scandal of some kind. It's been yeah, so long.
AJ Perez of Front Office Sports reported that Evander Kane, as we know... he is being investigated by the NHL for some sort of a COVID violation, is what we found out. You know, on top of the other, you know, various investigations and scandals. So AJ reports last night the COVID investigation regarding the protocols being broken into Kane centers around a fake vaccination card he allegedly submitted to the Sharks. Beyond possible NHL sanctions, using a fake vaccination card is illegal both in the U.S. and Canada. I will remind you that I lived in San Jose for you know, a bit, and I will tell you that there is probably not another part of the country that takes COVID as seriously as Santa Clara County. It is astonishing he would try to do this based on where he plays and where he lives. But I mean, you know,
it, not based on
who he is.
Yeah, his yes. brain and yes. how it works. Yeah.
Again, this has not been confirmed on the record by the NHL, but both Front Office Sports and Kevin Kurz, the beat writer for The Athletic, have both reported on it. What do you think, Ryan?
You know, I figured somebody was going to try falsifying a vaccine card to not have to get the vaccine and still play. I really thought someone was going to try it. I don't know why I didn't think it was Evander Kane, you know, allegedly. like, that makes what many would say is too much sense. So, yeah, I'm definitely not surprised because... I guess my point is that, like, by now I'm surprised the Sharks aren't just like, yeah, you don't fucking play for us anymore. Yeah, come on, man.
It feels like that's a great point, and that was what I was going to say. Like, It feels like they now have several options through which to get rid of Evander Kane. And yet, because he could score 30 goals in a season, I imagine that's the reason they haven't, Sean.
Yeah, and I mean, it's easier said than done. They try to terminate a contract. There's potential for a lot of headaches and lawsuits and what have you. I mean, it's... To be clear, it's an allegation at this point. You know, the report is that this is what they're investigating, but they might investigate and find out that it's not the case, and et cetera, et cetera. The only thing I'll add is I do not expect that Evander Kane is going to be the first and only player involved in this sort of accusation. The rumor mill... Certainly in other sports has been that this is actually more widespread than you might think. Certainly in the NFL, there's been whispers that there are more than a few players who may have passed off themselves as vaccinated when maybe they weren't. So we'll see. I mean, the numbers across all the sports, even in the NBA where it's a big story, have been significantly higher than in the general population. And, you know, in theory, that's good news. But, yeah, I would not be surprised if in the NHL and other sports that we maybe found out or maybe we'll never find out that some players are maybe not being completely upfront about their status. But we'll see. Or maybe we won't.
It sucks.
It does. And we should mention the Josh Archibald story as well, because I think that's new since the last time we talked. And that's
so he
pretty wild.
I catch me up here. He was unvaccinated, right?
Yeah. In fact, he was the only unvaccinated player in Canada, at least according to what we were what we were given.
And now it turns out that he's not going to play because he got COVID and then had myocarditis.
He had a heart problem.
Yeah.
Thank you. Has a heart problem. And it sounds like this part wasn't especially here, but it sounds like he had COVID in the summer, but maybe did not know that. Like that hadn't come up before. And, you know, you might think that it did. He might have said, you know, hey, part of the reason I don't want to get vaccinated is because I've already had this. We've heard that from other athletes. So I don't, you know, maybe he had it over the summer with no symptoms. Maybe he had it and didn't want to get looked at because he, you know, didn't, I don't know. Who knows? We can speculate, but we didn't know that he had apparently had this over the summer. And now apparently they have discovered this heart problem, which can be a long-standing effect of having COVID.
And a potential career ender. Like, we should say that it's inflammation of the heart muscle, and it's the same thing that made Alex Stalock step away from the season,
yep,
too.
Exactly.
String goalie for the Oilers.
Yeah, and another Oiler, which is part of what made it so maddening when, you know, the Archibald story about him refusing to get the shot was going around. You're sitting there going like, dude, you have a teammate who, you know, literally may have lost his career over this. And now, you know, we'll see. At least he's going to miss a good chunk of time. And then, you know, we'll cross our fingers for recovery after that. But certainly going to have an impact on him and his career and, you know, the choices that he has made. Influence that, and then obviously just, you know, bad luck as far as the outcome that he's apparently experiencing. So,
yeah,
unfortunate all the way around for sure.
Very. All right. Contract stuff since the last time we spoke to you. Elias Pettersson, 3 years, $22 million and 50. I don't know how to say that. He's got a 7.35 AAV for the next 3 years. So he signs, and then Quinn Hughes signs too. And Quinn signs for 6 years and $47.1 million. Honestly, I thought these two terms would be reversed. Like, I thought I thought Quinn would want to get the fuck out of there and go play in Jersey with his brothers. I really did. But it turns out that Pedersen wants to get the fuck out of there.
Well, I think the thing with Quinn is he didn't have the contract leverage that
he didn't.
That because he was a 10.2C, which means he can't be offer sheeted.
Correct.
Because of he didn't play as many NHL games as Pedersen did. And so, like, that, I think that's why, where he was like, well, you can either make, like, $4 million for the next 3 years, and you'd still be an RFA, because I think he only gave up 1 year of UFA.
Signing
this deal, so.
Pedersen's an RFA, and his base salary in his last season of the deal is $10.25 million.
Yeah, and
23-24.
And the other deal with that is that he is a year away from UFA status, so he would just likely take the qualifying offer and play for like $8.5 million or whatever the number is, and then walk right to UFA. And so, like, I mean, you know, it goes right back to the same old Jim Benning problem of like, well, I spent all this money on these guys who stink this summer, and then I couldn't, like, just don't sign Hamonic, and then you can give both these guys as much money as they want for as long as they want, you know.
Let's talk about Jim Benning for a second.
All right,
I'm gonna give you four general managers.
Yeah,
rank them in terms of the hottest seats. Okay, and potentially getting fired. David Poile, Brad Treliving, Kyle Dubas, Jim Benning. And am I missing anybody that could get fired?
I mean, Ken Holland probably deserves it, but won't.
I thought about Ken Holland, and I think, you know, traditionally you get two coaches at least before you get fired. And yeah. Tippett was his first. So I think he'll get one more coach before he gets fired. And plus, like, Bob Nicholson, all those old ass Canadians that run that team aren't going to fire Ken Holland.
Well, you got to keep in mind he wasn't on the 1986 Edmonton Oilers, so that will put him in a lot of danger.
That's true. I mean, that's a very fair point. I mean, like, maybe is Craig Muni available? I think there's a chance that maybe he could be out of a job if that's the case. All right, Poile.
I think the other guy I'd throw in there is Bob Murray in Anaheim.
See, I can't figure that one out.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that all summer with them, honestly.
Like, Bob Murray and Doug Wilson are two guys that both should probably be out of a job. Both have extraordinarily tight relationships with their owners. And so, you know, the evidence points to them both getting fired based on where their teams are. And in fact, in the Ducks case, like, how refreshing it would be to bring someone in, clear out some of the veterans, and really push all in into this youth movement that I think is doing quite well. I mean, Zegras and Drysdale are both going to be really, really good. But, like, they're just so tight with their owners. And Poile's kind of, you know, in that same boat. He's just been there forever. That I want to say that they should be in the hot seat, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like they are.
Yeah, I feel like Poile is, you know, getting fired, not necessarily getting moved up to upstairs, you know, yeah, president of whatever. Yeah, I could see that. That feels like more of an off-season move, but yeah, I mean, I think clearly he's coming to the end of the road there in Nashville.
Treliving, Dubas, and Benning. Rank them.
I think Treliving is the hottest. I he's the guy out of those that group that I would see as far as a mid-season change coming. Mm-hmm. I think I could see that. I don't think Dubas, unless everything goes right to hell for Toronto during the season, his seat isn't nuclear hot until they lose in the playoffs again. And because I think he's Shanahan's guy. So right. I think it's a question of, do they sweep everybody out? Like, if Shanahan goes, then yes, of course, Dubas almost certainly goes with him. But if he doesn't, I think he sticks around. But obviously, you know, another first-round exit in Toronto, and everything is in play.
Curtains.
But I don't think it's during the season. Benning, the owner likes him, man.
They would have to miss the playoffs and, like, not even be all that close, which I think yeah, is
just possible.
Very strong possibility.
Oh, I think it's a strong, yeah, very strong possibility, which breaks my heart because I want that team to be good. That was seriously one of my the funnest times was watching that team in the bubble playoffs. Like they just looked like they were like a really fucking fun team, and then it all kind of went sideways. I do think the X factor with Benning is that there was so much fan activism that we started to see last season vis-a-vis Benning, like fire Benning's like banners on the arena and being flown back of planes and shit, that once you get to that point, it really yeah, starts to impact business and could impact ownership's decision.
Well, you would think missing the playoffs all these fucking times would impact business, and that hasn't resulted in anything. So, I mean, like, I don't think it's any secret that, like, I mean, I remember listening to, like, Vancouver sports podcasts where they'd be like, you know, like 5 years ago, they'd be like, man, the day Jim Benning gets fired is, like, the day I'll finally go back to a Canucks game. And this was, you know, like, I don't even know that Pettersson was on the team at that point. And so, like, not only the whole, like, he can't stop signing and or trading for guys who just, like, aren't NHL players or aren't worth the money that he gave them. Like, even beyond that whole aspect of, like, the Jim Benning experience, it's just like, boy, it seems like he really alienated, like, the best guy to come into the franchise since one of the Sedin twins.
Yeah.
You know? Right? Like, yeah, shouldn't that be a thing? But seems like no. So.
And then, like, the Oliver Ekman-Larsson deal is such the blatant kicking of the can down the road to the next guy. Like, you know, it's like yeah, you leave the White House and find that someone spread shit all over the walls of the Lincoln bedroom.
Yeah, they took all the W's off the key. Remember that whole thing?
I like to remember that. Jesus. Did you know about that, Sean?
Yeah, I remember hearing
that. Okay. All right.
That's one of those things that doesn't sound real to me, but it would be funny if it was.
I think it should be real. I think we can will it into existence. All right. Let's we had a lot of like doom and gloom and what have you on this podcast, which, you know, is frustrating because it should be the happiest time of the year. Everyone is 0-0. It is the dawn of a new NHL season. My God, can you believe it? We're back on ESPN and we're also on TNT. Where Rick Tocchet's kicking guys in the balls. It's all going to be great. So let's talk about what we think might happen in the 2021-22 season. Your Puck Soup season preview. Mm. Where we try to piece together what's going to happen in these divisions. Let's start in the East. Atlantic Division. Who's in last, Buffalo or Detroit?
Buffalo.
Thank
Buffalo.
You. Who's, then we go Detroit?
Yeah.
Then we go Ottawa.
I think that's the most likely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it starts to become an open question to me, honestly.
Now, I think Montreal is clearly like the fifth best team, right?
I would say
one,
so.
One, two, three, yeah, four. No, I fourth, think that's, fourth yeah, best team. Fourth best. Oh, no, fifth best team,
no,
right.
Fifth. Yes. Yeah, fifth.
Right.
Because they're, yeah, and like every set of predictions is going to pick Montreal to miss the playoffs, partly because they're in that range, and partly because we all love the idea of taking a team that went on a deep run and really going out on a limb by predicting they're going to miss it. But, I mean,
it's also just a numbers game. Like, you look at the four teams in front of them, and you're like, yeah, they're not better than any of those teams on paper.
And, you know, Montreal, not to beat a dead horse, they weren't a good regular season team last year. And that
or
was
the year
Shea
before.
Weber. Yeah.
When they you know, lucked into beating the Penguins in the fake first round or whatever.
Shea Weber's out. Carey Price.
They got worse at every. They got worse at every position this summer.
I think David Savard can give you 60% of Shea Weber.
Sure, and I think Dvorak gives you 60% of Deneau. Like, I think he's a good player, but I think Phil Deneau's a much better player. So.
Yeah. I like, you know, there's parts of this team I like Suzuki and Caulfield and, you know, there's and Drouin coming back and maybe, you know, being an impactful offensive player again. Like, there's parts of this team I really like. But I think if you put this team back in the Canadian division, I'd be confident they could finish maybe third. Like, I think they're pretty good. But, like, in this division,
it's a numbers game, man.
Yeah, like, they're not better than those four teams ahead of them.
Yeah, and that's even with saying, oh boy, those teams in front of them have a lot of open questions, because Montreal does as well. You know, I guess we can get into it, but like, there is plenty of reason to be like, oh, I don't know about these fucking Bruins this year, you know. But less reason, I think, than you know, saying, well, Montreal has clearly bridged a gap here by, you know, tough circumstances for them, but they've, you know, they did the best they could is not exactly a ringing endorsement of Mark Bergevin's summer. So
one of my hottest takes is I think Charlie McAvoy wins the Norris this year.
Yeah, I think he's in contention. I think, you know, the Norris the last 2 years was, you know, if Cale Makar doesn't get hurt, .. Yeah. And so if he doesn't get hurt this year, that's who's going to win the Norris, because he's deserved two in a row. So.
All right. So we think Boston fourth.
Right. You could tell me. No, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think you could tell me any four of those teams in any order at the top of that division.
And I put Tampa on top, but I think 2 through 4 is kind of a jumble.
Well, again, Tampa lost its entire second line that they called the third line, and you know, so I can totally see Tampa taking a bit of a step back, and you know, again, like, now they're dealing with two short off seasons in a row, and guys are getting surgery, and they lost, you know, Yanni Gord is a fucking unbelievable player, and they lost him for nothing. So, you could easily talk me into Tampa 2 or 3 in that division, easily.
I would go Toronto, Tampa, Florida, Boston, and that would give us another all Florida playoff series, which is really all I care about right now.
The other thing about Florida though is, and I wrote about this earlier this week, like, I look at their situation in net, and I'm like, oh, they have no plan B here. Like, if Bobrovsky isn't good, and that there's a very strong chance of that, maybe not over 50%, but like, if he's not good, then it's like, okay, well, I guess we got to turn to this child.
I think the child's going to play 35 to 40 games.
Like, well, right, but I'm saying, what if you can't count on Bobrovsky for even that much?
I honestly think the problem is if you can't count on Spencer Knight.
Well, that's
like,
what I'm saying.
I think Spencer Knight, like, Bobrovsky's going to be whatever. Like, he's improved incrementally in the last two seasons. He's still not very good. He'll give you a good stretch of games here and there. He's decidedly maybe just a little bit above average. The difference for Florida in being first in the division and being third in the division is if Spencer Knight wins the Rookie of the Year. Like, yeah, that's sure. It.
Yeah. And then what happens if Spencer Knight is just outplaying Sergei Bobrovsky?
Yeah.
And now you've got a $10 million veteran who signed for like 4 more years sulking on your bench, or maybe not.
What you do is you play Spencer Knight because neither Bill Zito nor Joel Quenneville had anything to fucking do with Sergei Bobrovsky getting that contract.
Mm-hmm. It's totally true.
Quenneville didn't, you don't think?
They came
in the same year, didn't they?
They did, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Do you think that he said, go get me Bobrovsky and sign him to that contract?
I don't know if he said that, but I would imagine he was involved in
that. A guy who won cups with like piecemeal goaltending in Chicago?
Well, that's a good point, true. I guess, but yeah, I don't think they would go like, hey, Joel, we need you to sign off on us getting this guy who's coming off of Vezina, or, you know, recent Vezina anyway.
Joel, what do you think about the goaltending next year? Is Bobrovsky available? I could really go for some Bobrovsky here.
Yeah. But yeah, so like that's the thing with Florida is I just look at that goaltending and go, yeah, might not be that good. You know, like if Knight does the thing where, you know, he's not ready to play 30, 40 games in the NHL, which I think is totally, you know, plausible. I think he's fucking unbelievable. He's got one of the brightest futures of any young player in the league regardless of position. But is that this year? Like, is he ready to deliver? I don't know. You know,
I think they're going to go 82-0 against the over this year. They're just going to score a fuck ton of goals and then give up a fuck ton of goals.
Yeah.
The Metropolitan Division. Last place, Columbus. Easy peasy.
Sure.
All right. Now it gets a little more complicated. Where do you have the Devils?
Man, I was talking to someone the other day where they were pumping me up about how much better the Devils are going to be. And I was agreeing with them, and then I'm like, okay, but who do they pass that's ahead of them? And that's where it kind of trailed off. Because
Theoretically, they pass the Flyers if you're not high on the Flyers.
And I'm not high
on the Flyers.
The models aren't the other team, because of what happened with the goaltending last year. And yet, I mean, you know, the Ryan Ellis move is really smart. I'm not totally in love with them up front, but I think Carter Hart's going to be better. I just hate the fact that they got the guy they got to push him is the guy that I think is just cooked.
Sucks. He's terrible.
Yeah. Well, they didn't get a guy to push him. They got a guy to make him feel secure and non-threatened, because.
But he needs a guy to push him.
Well, he had that last year and didn't fucking work out. So.
Did he though?
Well, I mean, in theory,
Ryan Elliott was like worse than Carter Hart last year.
Yeah. Well. But and so did, I think this was on 32 Thoughts the other day. Apparently, like, the players in Philly were like, yeah, Vigneault was fucking terrible last year. He did a shit job. Like, the players were kind of saying, like, why isn't he getting more shit for how bad we were this year?
How do you find time to listen to other hockey podcasts? My God.
That's the only one. That's the only one. Because there's like news on there on a pretty consistent basis.
I just wait for everyone to summarize Elliot incorrectly.
I'll tell Filippo, but you don't listen to his podcast. He's going to be heartbroken.
Well, when's the last time you put on one of those? I love the guy, but let's go.
You know what? That shows you how often I listen to this podcast. And Sean, to answer your question that you didn't ask, I just follow NHL Watcher on Twitter, and then he tells me whatever these guys say on TV or on their podcasts. Cool. Really takes the legwork out of it. Highly recommend everybody follow NHL Watcher on Twitter.
NHL Watcher, who's that? Me? Right?
Yeah, apparently. NHL. I think we all are in some ways.
Huh.
Are we?
All right, the Devils and Flyers are probably going to be in those last two spots ahead of the Blue Jackets, in theory. Unless you think the Capitals take a tumble.
Or the Penguins.
Or the Penguins.
The Penguins is the – and I've been saying it for 3 years, and I'm wrong.
Everybody, both the Capitals and the Penguins, everybody's like, this is the year they're fucking cooked, and then
– I said in my season preview that the Penguins are the team in the entire league with the widest range of plausible outcomes to me. Like the old – if you're a time traveler from July 2022 and you come back and you tell me the Penguins won the Cup – yeah, with Crosby and Malkin, sure, they're the Penguins, you know? Yeah, I would not be shocked. If you told me they finished in the bottom five of the entire league with, you know, Malkin missing time and maybe, you know, Crosby, who knows, and that goaltending, not shocked. Like, there is almost no place they fit in the standings that I'm completely stunned by, and I don't know that there's any other team I say that for.
Let me tell you this right now, and I say this as somebody who is – absolutely stunned that Tristan Jarry is still their goalie.
Yes, that is a real issue for them.
I still think their goaltending is better than Washington's.
Yeah, I think I do. I agree with that. It's close.
Boy, you really slammed the fucking brakes there, didn't you?
I don't trust either of those goaltending groups as far as I can fucking throw them.
Is Casey
Smith still the backup for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think he would have played in the playoffs last year if he were healthy. But like I would take Jarry and DeSmith over Samsonov and Vanecek. Vanecek, I can't figure out. That might be just like.
Oh, I think Vanecek stinks, but I like Samsonov.
He stinks, but Samsonov has not put it together as a pro yet.
But like, you know.
Jarry was an above replacement goalie at 5-on-5 last year. Like he was
he
fine.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
Holy shit.
He wasn't bad. Wow. Like neither of them, but DeSmith was better, but like he wasn't terrible in the regular season. Our last memory of Tristan Jarry is being the reason they lost in the playoffs, and it's very hard to shake that.
There may be some reason. You're right. There's some recency bias as far as
no. Jarry was minus 8.3 goals saved above expected. So that stinks. That's bad.
DeSmith was fine.
Well, let me look at DeSmith. I didn't look at DeSmith. Hold on here. DeSmith, yeah, plus 4.3. But that's my point though. Is like if you're relying on Casey DeSmith. That's not an enviable position, I would say. But yeah, all the injuries and you know there's more coming because it's the Pittsburgh Penguins. So to Sean's point, these guys and I think the Bruins have maybe the biggest range of possible outcomes in the entire league.
Bruins, yeah. The last thing I'll say on the Penguins is I don't do a lot of sports betting, but I do like to look for like the preseason props on guys who are going to win awards or this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one that they had Sidney Crosby something like 40-1 for the Hart Trophy, and I jumped on that because can't you imagine a scenario where Crosby, let's say he misses the first 2 weeks, the Penguins look awful, everybody writes our "this is the end of the Penguins" pieces, and then Crosby comes back. He's really good two-way player. We're all sick of voting for McDavid every year. So, you know, Crosby resurrects the Penguins, brings them back to the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, everyone, as the season goes on, goes, hey, wait a second. You know, Sidney Crosby's only ever won the Hart Trophy twice. That's not enough. Has he not had enough, you know, blah, blah, blah? It turns into the Lifetime Achievement Award, and he gets a Hart Trophy. I'm just saying, if you're looking to put down a couple of bucks and buy yourself a new entertainment system.
2019, bud. The Penguins were third in the Metro. Crosby had 100 points, and he finished second for the Hart. Like he absolutely has that lane of being the guy that they credit to get the Penguins to the playoffs.
Decided that now he's a great defensive player too, who should be in the Selke conversation. He's got a very well-rounded game now. I could just see, you know, these awards are based more on narratives than we would like. And, that jumped out to me. Connor McDavid should be the MVP. We should give it to him right now, but maybe we won't want to.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder what happens if the Oilers miss the playoffs. I don't think it's particularly likely. We'll get to it in a minute, but The other question is for the Metro is what the fuck are the Rangers? Because I don't know. I think they still have some good players, but they really good players as a matter of fact, and I trust their goaltending, and obviously Adam Fox just won a Norris and all this kind of stuff. But they got worse this summer on purpose. They got rid of Pavel Buchnevich. They went out and signed a bunch of like guys who do punching, you know, and like good players who do punching, but players who do punching, and you know, they ostensibly did it to better compete directly with the Islanders and to, you know, avenge Artemi Panarin in however many games against the Capitals they want to feel like that's the thing they want to do.
Three.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, they're a team with a lot of good young players who are going to get better and some strong veteran talent and all that. But also, they could be completely dog shit this year, and I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm really like them and the Devils. I'm really of two minds, especially with the whole, you know, can Mackenzie Blackwood play like 1/8 of their games or whatever? Like, yeah. It's a really interesting division because I think we all agree the Islanders are like the one team that's like guaranteed to make the playoffs. But are they even going to win that division comfortably? You can convince me that they won't.
And they took a couple losses too. I mean, Letty, they did. They lost Eberle. Like they're not super as solidified as they were last year. But again, I think just the style that they play, the goaltending that they have, the goal scoring they have, they're going to be fine.
They're the one team that I'm, well, them in Carolina, I guess, are the two that I'm like, I would be shocked if they miss the fucking playoffs.
Yeah, even Carolina.
Would you be shocked if Carolina missed?
I would.
I'd be shocked if the Islanders missed, but I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina missed.
Much like the Rangers, I think Carolina like kind of intentionally got worse over the offseason because they were just like, anybody can be a goalie on this team. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And did I love Alex Nedeljkovic as a goalie? Not really, but like, he's better than the guys they brought in, you know?
No.
Or so I think, anyway, you know?
They're going to miss Dougie, though.
Yeah, well, right. And so, like, they're replacing Dougie with Tony D'Angelo. And it's
NXT's
like,
Tony D'Angelo.
That's right. For my family, right? I haven't seen it.
Do you know NXT this, Sean, that they have a wrestler on NXT named Tony D'Angelo, and he's an Italian guy?
Yeah. I saw the screen grabs going around on hockey Twitter.
Let's just say his family works in sanitation. Okay?
Yes.
Like, that's his gimmick, literally. Like,
that's his gimmick.
Yeah.
Well, I might know a guy or two. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I think they're going to miss Dougie. Like, he...
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, Dougie is another guy where it's like, that's a... If the Devils are any good this year, people are like, well, Norris. It's Norris time for Dougie.
I think you're right.
Justifiably so.
I feel like with Hamilton, we had all kind of internalized that he was probably leaving Carolina. So it doesn't feel like as big a loss. Like when you know, you're just like, oh yeah, we already knew that, but it's a loss. It's a huge loss.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still think Carolina's probably the second best team in the division, but I wouldn't be shocked. And just quick on the Rangers, the one thing I'll say is when I was doing my preview stuff and I look back, the Rangers were better last year than I thought. And I think partly because they fired everyone, you sort of go, oh yeah, that must have been a mess. They were not bad last year. That's another team where I think I agree with pretty much everything Ryan said, and yet if there was one, you know, youngish kind of rebuilding team that made the jump and right into the playoffs, and we all kind of look back and went, oh yeah, we should have seen that coming, I think it's probably the Rangers. So
yeah, the thing with that is, you know, they probably make the playoffs if the regular season is 62 games and not 56, you know.
Ran out of runway.
Maybe.
They absolutely did, and you know, we can't dismiss like Panarin missed a bunch of games for an insane fucking reason,
if one or both of Lafreniere or Kako actually start looking like they're going to live up to their draft pedigree, then that
absolutely
definitely boosts.
I like your Dougie Norris call for the Devils. Like if he's any good and they're markedly improved, he's going to get kind of like that Hart but the Norris type vote. You know what I mean? I mean, he's moves the puck, point producer, shoots the puck a lot, deals in volume.
Yeah, he fucking,
you know who
talks.
Else deals in volume? Our friends at Raycon. You know, today's episode.
All right. It took me a second. Yeah.
Okay.
Today's episode of Puck Soup is sponsored by Raycon. Again, much like Brooklyn, and this is a product that we hardly endorse because we use this product. In fact, the everyday earbuds are a staple of my workout regimen, whether I'm taking little jogs around Brooklyn or hitting the old Peloton like I did the other day. The everyday earbuds, they feel, look, and sound better than ever. And they don't fall out of your ears. Again, I can't stress that enough. Mainly because of the way they're constructed, but also because they give you different little ear things that you could swap out on the everyday earbuds to fit your ear perfectly. It's the best thing about them. But also great about them is how they sound. You know, they have a pure mode for podcast listening. They have a balanced mode for if you want a little rock and roll, bass mode for the hip hop and the reggae and all that jive. And they have an awareness mode now. This is new for the everyday earbuds, for when you need to listen to your surroundings instead. So, example, I've been trying to ride bikes a little bit more here in the city to get from one place to another.
Yeah, doing freaking Stranger Things.
Yeah, clearly, you know, and you know, that's what we do. And one time a van was going to hit me and this little girl flipped it with her mind. It was crazy. You know, if you're riding the bike and you got your earbuds in, man, you want to be able to know what's going on around you in case a bus tries to hit you or something. So that awareness mode comes in very handy when you're walking around the city or biking around the city. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and 32-hour battery life. My goodness. There's also a built-in mic. You could take calls in your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good, and they come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, Puck Soup listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/puck. That's buyraycon.com/puck. That's buyraycon.com/puck to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/puck. It's good stuff. All right, so the metro's a fucking cluster. I think we could all agree, outside of Columbus. Yep. Central. Let's start at the bottom. No, let's start at the top.
Colorado,
the top,
okay.
Top's easier.
I think Colorado might win that division.
Colorado at the top. Do we like Winnipeg or Minnesota next?
Winnipeg. I like Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg is not getting enough love in the preseason.
Totally agree.
The only thing keeping me from hot-shotting them as a cup finalist is that they don't have a dominant top-pairing defenseman. And I don't think Morrissey is the guy.
No, I agree that he is not the guy. Yes.
So that's I mean, their defense has improved, and maybe Hellebuck could make up for not having that type of player. But the DNA of most cup finalists is that you have that type of player. And so as much as I love a
Shifley, I don't think they're a cup finalist.
I think they could be a cup finalist.
Well, insofar as they have the best goalie alive, yeah, that...
And could have and two really good lines.
A real good forwards, yeah. And a better blue line.
Yeah.
Than they did last year when they were not a bad team.
If you're stacking up the Western Conference, okay?
All right.
Are they, I mean, like, are they any worse than third or fourth overall?
They could be the third best team in the conference.
Yeah, I agree.
They could be somewhere else.
Vegas
but
Colorado, yes.
Yeah, and I think a gap. Obviously, we're all kind of already looking ahead to the Colorado-Vegas Western Final, but... Yeah, if I got to pick a team to be the next best, Winnipeg is on a short list. Probably Minnesota and Edmonton are the other two teams I'm looking at.
Let's have an honest conversation about Colorado.
Yeah.
They're very, 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 very good.
Good chat.
They are...
You got it. 10 out of 10.
They are disturbingly young in some areas. Some key areas. And I don't know what the fuck happened to their depth. But, like, Donskoy, Saad, and Belmare all walking out the door this summer, and now I'm looking at their bottom six, and I'm wondering to myself, is this still a championship team?
Remind me on their bottom six.
Well, they're going to have Newhook as their, like, third-line center, which is great.
Yeah.
But, like, Darren Helm's on their fourth line now?
Yeah, that's a tough sell for me.
There was a time when we looked at this team and said, my God, the intricate construction that Joe Sakic and that front office have done for this Colorado team is astonishing. But then they started having to pay guys like Makar and Landeskog. Yeah. And now all of a sudden you have a serious decline in veteran depth on that team. Not to say they can't win the cup. I think they could, obviously. They're great. But they're not as good as they've been in the last 2 years, if we're being honest.
Yeah, and
obviously... Not, you know, the playoff success hasn't been there. They're one of, I listed Joe Sakic as one of my most interesting guys to watch this year, just because, you know, how much pressure is he under to make sure that this isn't another second year exit year? I mean, they're basically the Leafs plus one. At some point you can just say, hey, it's, they keep running into good teams. That happens, but they got a breakthrough, you would think, or maybe not. I'm curious to see if they make a push at the deadline, you know, or go all in sort of thing. They should be able to just cruise to that division. Although Darcy Kemper's under a lot of pressure, man, because that situation did not play out the way that they seemed to expect.
No.
And it's not very often that you see a Stanley Cup favorite scrambling to fix its goaltending a week into the offseason. So, yeah, they're an interesting team to watch, but certainly the best team in that division.
If Kemper's healthy, I think there's not anything to worry about in goal. I think Greg's right insofar as I'm looking at their fourth line, and it seems like it might be Darren Helm, Mikhail Maltsev, and Logan O'Connor, where it's like, oh,
And again, maybe that's fixable at the deadline. I mean, let's not forget.
Yeah, you can get like fourth line guys for basically nothing.
The Tampa Bay the exalted checking line that we all miss with the Lightning was put together at the trade deadline, basically. So like, you could find solutions there, but they need them because they're not as good as Vegas right now. In the depth department.
Really?
In
the depth department.
You can have depth with Chandler Stephenson as your first line center, or not as much depth with Nathan MacKinnon. And
yeah, I'd rather have Nathan MacKinnon and Kadri and Rantanen and Landeskog and Nichushkin, Burakovsky, like. Oh, all those guys fucking rock, actually, it turns out. So, but
and
yeah.
You know what else they do? They get rocked in the second round and never get past it when Vegas does.
That's true of everybody until it isn't. Now we're like, well,
this is true.
Now, how could we ever write off the Capitals? It's like, well, we just, like, everybody else in hockey just spent, like, a fucking decade doing it, and then they won the Cup, and now it's like the. We could never write off the Capitals. It would be sacrilegious to write off the Capitals. So, I don't know. You lose until you win. That's fucking how it works. Like, no, nobody's Chicago where it's like, oh yeah, the Kings.
As a Leaf fan, I could offer a counterpoint.
Well, I mean, again, like, how many kicks at the can did Tampa need before they finally won their Cup in a fake season?
Yep.
That's just how it goes. And so, you know, I think of any team that could win a Stanley Cup, I think Colorado would be at the very top of my list, ahead of Vegas, ahead of any other team in the league, as I just said. So, but with that having been said, it's a fucking random sport. The fucking Montreal Canadiens made the Cup final last year. So, you know, it's all made up.
Okay. Okay. Colorado, Winnipeg, Minnesota?
Yeah, I think Minnesota. Yep.
St. Louis?
Now it gets interesting. I love what St. Louis did this summer. I think they got better than just about any other team in the league via free agency.
But do you love them enough to get over your hate boner for Jordan Binnington?
Well, he's not that good, right? That's my point.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, you don't need a goalie to be great to make the playoffs in a league where half the teams make the playoffs, right? Like,
right.
You just need him to be fine. I think he'll be fine. The real question I have is it him or is it them or is it Dallas next?
Yeah. So we assume Dallas will be better than Nashville and Chicago.
Chicago is another one that's tough for me.
I think that's a team that needs Marc-Andre Fleury to be unfucking believable this year.
I agree. I think the Jeremy Colton defensive system, if you look at the years he's been in Chicago, they're last in expected goals against in that span. I don't think he's a good coach.
No.
And I don't think Marc-Andre Fleury is going to make him a good coach.
Yep, that's right. But yeah.
I guess all I would say is they added the Vezina winner, Seth Jones, who we've done that to death, but could be a good player, and they're getting Jonathan Toews back, we hope, which, I mean, that's three really big names that they're adding for essentially nothing onto a team that last year was better than we thought with no goaltending. So,
well, they had goaltending for like 8 weeks.
Broom. Yeah, you're
right. And then
yeah.
they didn't.
And well, then, and no and goaltending then, as far as nobody knew who their goaltenders were.
That's
starting
right.
into the year.
That's right. I think I think they're going to be on the bubble. I do. I agree with you, Sean. I think they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, they're a bubble team.
But I don't. Absolutely. I think they're better than Nashville. But I don't think that they're better than. They could be better than Dallas. I don't know. I'm not in love with Dallas. I actually think that there's a very good chance Rick Bowness gets fired in season.
Yeah, the thing with Dallas is, boy, like they. I wrote about it this week, but I was looking at their fucking depth chart, and I was like, they have fucking four NHL goalies on the roster.
Yeah.
They're like, Ben Bishop, yep, he's probably coming back. They of course, Anton Hudobin, he brought us to a cup final. And then Jake Oettinger, of course. Remember that those games against the Canucks and all that shit?
Trust me when I tell you that both Calgary and Winnipeg are intimately acquainted with the fact that Dallas has a goalie surplus. at one
and
point
Edmonton,
those
– Christ.
And Edmonton, yeah, exactly. So do we think Chicago is a playoff team or no?
No.
Okay.
No, I would put St. Louis and Dallas ahead of them.
Yeah, I would put them as a no on my list, but a no in the but it wouldn't surprise me category.
And then Arizona last. I think there's a clear top four. I think Dallas is just a shade better than Chicago. But you know, there's going to be another wild card. And maybe they both come from the Central. We'll see. Let's talk about
the
Pacific.
They both come from the Central.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then Chicago could make it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Pacific. Okay.
Well, did we say anything about Nashville at all?
Yeah, it'll be behind Chicago.
Yeah.
I think they're seventh. Yeah.
Yeah, they're interesting because I wonder how quick they will be to pull the trigger on just trading everybody, because they already kind of started that this summer.
They're trying, but they can't, no one wants to take Duchesne or Johansson.
Yeah,
that's
well.
The
I mean, I'm saying at some point you got to like have a serious talk about trading Roman Josi and
Forsberg,
and all those other guys. Yeah,
yeah. You know,
isn't Forsberg's contract up this?
Yeah, he's a UFA. The interesting thing about them is I was pretty high on Juuse Saros in the goalie tandems ranking that we did. I had somebody reach out after it published. He's like, think about it this way. This guy was playing for a contract and to separate himself from Pekka Rinne.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has a contract and Pekka Rinne's retired. So what is that going to look like? I'm like, fuck, it's a good point. It's gonna look like David Rittich is his backup.
Is that where Rittich ended up? That
yeah,
was another
where he,
one.
That's where he ended up.
The Leafs documentary was we got Dave Rittich, baby. Look out.
Big save, Dave.
Big save, Dave, baby. All right. Pacific. We all agree Vegas is on top, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's second?
Probably Edmonton.
Yeah. But we immediately have to say, speaking of fucking goaltending, oof. In Edmonton. Yep. It's Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen again, and I don't think you're going to get like borderline Vezina quality Mike Smith for this season for some reason.
No, but I think they're overall a better team than maybe they were. Maybe not. I don't know. Like I don't.
Definitely think they are.
I think they went out and got a
– well, not on defense. I think their defense got worse this summer, and that's
right.
Fucking,
I mean, Duncan Keith is CC pairing coming up. Yeah. No, but we've seen Connor and Leon drag different iterations of this team to second place in the division.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine that they can do it again. I think I'd put Seattle second, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
we've talked about it, I think, probably 15 times already, but who's putting the puck in the net for those guys? I've said before, I think McCann's going to have a fucking wild season. I think he's going to go crazy for him, but he might be the only one who does it.
But I feel like we had this discussion with Vegas, and then lo and behold, they were fine on the offensive front.
What do you mean? Like in their
first season,
right?
Yeah.
So if they just get like 930 goaltending and get
and,
a couple
and
of
Vegas,
guys who shoot 25% all
but
year,
they're
going to be great.
Vegas came out of nowhere, so I mean, I don't know that we can just like
well
point
again
to the
I,
one other modern expansion team and say it'll probably be the same.
I don't think I'm not basing this on Vegas. I'm basing this on them being really good in the back end and really good in net. Like Drew Bauer and Driedger, fuck.
That's a good tandem. I'm not saying it isn't, but
everybody, like 25 teams in the league.
Everybody seems to remember. Oh, remember when the frickin' when Bill Carlson scored 42 goals or whatever the number was? And it's like, yeah. Do you remember that Marc-Andre Fleury was a 930 goalie all year?
Yeah,
because that. And so the question is, do I think Driedger and Grubauer can do that? And I would say, not really.
But they could be 925.
Well, like, could they?
In back of that
know,
D? Man.
I don't know.
In back of Dunn, Giordano, Oleksiak and Larson?
Grubauer wasn't that behind the fucking Colorado Avalanche defense.
Well, he was. I mean, he was Vezina finalist.
Yeah, because he won He's a shitload good. Of games.
Yeah. And GMs are dumb. Exactly, Ryan. I think Seattle's second. And to answer your question, when Vegas drafted their team, I know I just said I wasn't comparing to Vegas. Shut the fuck up. I'm doing the
you
thing I said
you,
no
you can't
do.
Not. Like it's that's just the reality.
When Vegas
like
drafted their team,
it.
There was one guy on the roster we knew could score goals, and it was James Neal. They've got at least two guys. They got Everly and Schwartz that we know are gonna be that have at least a pedigree of offensive competence in this league. I could be right.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna be fine.
I can't see banking on fucking Jordan Everly as like the guy who's gonna fill the net for me. I
need him to score 40. You just need him to score 20.
Okay. I should say all of this skepticism. I think they are comfortably the third best team in this division.
Okay, so Vegas, Seattle, and or Edmonton.
Yeah, I still have Edmonton comfortably ahead in the sense of that's not as much overlap. As
you want to talk about spots. A team that's going to win a lot of 5-4 games this year? Like holy shit!
Yeah,
yep.
And I said it a few times this summer. Like if they break up Hyman. Like, if they keep Hyman off the McDavid line, they're going to have three lines that outscore you every single night. Because Hyman's not going to give up anything defensively. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty good offensively. And yeah. So, like,
mm-hmm.
And again, I made this point a few times, but, like, you can't – like, the idea that you put him with Connor McDavid, like but what are you going to do? Improve Connor McDavid's fucking goals for percentage to like 58 instead of 57 if he tightens it up defensively? Whereas, when McDavid and Draisaitl are off the ice, they get the fucking Oilers get outscored like 2-1 or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, you can like chip into that number a little bit. And this team is comfortably a playoff team.
Team I'm fascinated by is Calgary because.
Yeah.
If Markstrom improves, and maybe, it was the weight of the contract weighing him down or whatever, I think he could be better than he was last year, although I think we saw the best of him in Vancouver. But if he improves, sometimes you just need pretty good goaltending and one great line to make the playoffs. And I am here for fucking Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk. Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah, let's go.
Those guys rock.
Those guys are awesome. And then, if you can get anything beyond that with your, like, Mangiapanis and your Monahans and whatever, like, they might have enough to kind of sneak into a wild card, but I think they're
going to be Mangiapane's good. Dubé's a good young player. Like,
yep.
Might not be that young anymore, but you know what I mean. And then, yeah, like, Monahan obviously has his problems, but he can put the puck in the net. He's proven that, so... They're a team that's really interesting to me. I think it all hinges on Markstrom. If he can't get it going again this year, and we should say last season was fake for everybody, for every single person in the league. Last season was not fucking real. So,
and I guess
with that
I'm also,
having been said, I don't trust this team's defense. I think it sucks. I think
it sucks. But
awful.
Can you paper over that if you're a Daryl Sutter team?
Maybe
Sutter's the guy for me. Like that is, I wrote about this, but I still every couple of weeks see that Daryl Sutter is the coach of the Flames and go, oh yeah,
oh right, yeah,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then I go, wow, Daryl Sutter's back in the league, and it's very 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 easy for me to foresee a situation where Daryl Sutter is yesterday's man. He is coming in here trying to do 2004 or even 2012 on a 2021 team. It doesn't work, and he's like back on the ranch by midseason. It's also worth remembering that Daryl Sutter has been really, really good as a coach in this league. And, you know, back in the days when we were starting to learn about possession and all that stuff, he was the guy that would made every team better. If he pulls that with Calgary, okay. Let's see how it goes. But I don't know how confident I am. And, you know, based on the fact that I said Treliving was on the hottest seat, you can kind of see where I'm going with Calgary.
I like the fact that back on the ranch is literally means back on the ranch.
It's 100%.
It's like fan fucking. It's so great.
That's not a metaphor.
It's so great.
That's, yeah.
All right. So we think they're fourth. That means we think that Vancouver is fifth.
I think Vancouver potentially ahead of Calgary, but
you could talk me into any order: Calgary, LA, Vancouver.
Boy, if you hate Calgary's back end, do I have a back end to show you?
No shit. Holy fuck! Wow. It's unbelievable how, again, like it was as though they tried to get worse defensively this summer.
Prayers up to Thatcher Demko. My God.
No shit. Poor kid. Kid. He's like 27 now, I'm sure. But,
you know. But he's still younger than you. It's okay to call the kid if he's younger than you.
He's an NHL goalie. He's in his second full season and he's 35 years
old.
That's
right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. San Jose and LA, whatever. I mean, if LA's young guys can get going, and I, as we do this podcast, we don't know what Byfield's situation is after a really nasty spell last night.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Fuck. Oh, yeah. He screwed up his ankle pretty good.
Oh, well, that sucks. But again, like, LA was a team where they went out this summer and they were like, we're getting solid veterans for the entire lineup. So
I'll take Cal Peterson and Jonathan Quick over James Reimer and Aiden Hill, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
LA is another one of those teams where it's like the typical path for a rebuild is you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. Then you're mediocre for a couple years and then you're good. Mm. But every now and then a team kind of skips past the mediocre phase a lot quicker than we think and it all clicks together. And LA could do that, but I don't think it's likely.
They have a lot of young players that I really fucking like a lot. So
yeah,
best team
in the state for this year, and then that's
because Anaheim is last.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. We previewed the NHL. We're not going to do cup picks and stuff. We don't want to look at like idiots unless you have a cup pick. Well, I don't know. I don't have one.
Kudos in July.
Exactly.
I think I picked Tampa Colorado final, which was really gutsy and brave of me. And I'm
got halfway there. You know.
Yeah.
All right. We'll figure it out. All right. And the remaining moments of the show, we have a game show, according to Lambert, yeah?
Yeah. And okay. It is, of course, blatantly stolen from inside the NBA.
Oh, before we go, one last thing was, we didn't talk about Brady Tkachuk, I don't think, did we?
Oh, no, we didn't.
Not much to talk about. I was telling somebody, I think it was 2 days ago, it was asking me like if I was worried from a Senator's perspective. And I said, not really, because everything has gone very quiet. And a lot of times when things go very quiet on both sides, that means a deal is getting closer. And I said, as long as we don't hear any leaks, you know, from one side or the other saying it's not going well. And then almost immediately we did. There was a report that, you know, I can't remember who it was, but somebody very clearly coming from the Tkachuk camp saying that there was a deal to be done and the Senators weren't in, blah, blah, blah. So
yeah, that was Chris Johnson last night was like, the Senators are confident they can get to the salary cap floor without and it's like, Jesus Christ. Holy shit.
I didn't even think of that. You're right. They need to get there.
No, literally, I'm not even joking. That is what CJ said on TSN last night. That Senators are confident they can get to the salary floor. That's almost a direct quote. And so it's like, this was supposed to be year one of the unprecedented success and spending to the cap and all that shit. This was supposed to be the start of that. I don't think when Eugene Melnick said that he foresaw a pandemic. I'm still doing some independent research about that, but, you know, Like, I get why that got derailed, but also, like, and also, you know, we should say Colin White, it seems like it's a really grim injury for him, so... Mm. Oh boy, the Senators, like, they're just not going to put White on the LTIR, I guess, right? Like, that's...
No, they won't. They won't LTIR anyone, and I mean, I still think they get him signed, but at this point, like, it's...
It seems acrimonious.
I think...
The message has always been to Senator fans, first it was don't worry as long as he's in camp, and then it was don't really worry as long as he doesn't miss any time. I still think he gets signed before opening night, but if he doesn't, then look out.
Yeah.
Because then it could drag.
I say he takes a 3-year bridge deal, then both him and Matthew go play for the Blues in 3 years.
Yeah, that I think everybody's kind of banking on that.
There you go. Yeah. You heard it here last. All right, what's the game?
The game is who he play for.
Oh,
it's you know, Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA famously doesn't know where lower end players play. Last night I was rewatching last season's, and he was like, "You're giving me all these guys who are like the fourth guy off the bench. Give me Giannis one of these times. I'll get him." You know, and so we're doing guys like that, and I have 9 guys here in front of me. It's 1-5.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't know who goes first, whatever. But I just want you to know who he played for.
Will you tell us who goes first or who kicks?
All right, Greg, why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll go first. Sure.
I'll give you that you're both getting an easy one to start. I feel like Zhujar Kara. Zhujar Kara. What team does Zhujar Kara play for now, Greg?
Who is this person?
That's my question.
Obviously, can you spell the first name?
You really don't know who Zhujar fucking Kara is?
Listen, you know me. I probably know it by sight, but not by sound.
You would know him by sight because he's one of the few non-white people in the NHL, so that should help.
No, I mean his name, dummy, not what he looks like.
Zhujar Kara is spelled Zhujar Kara.
Okay. All right. I know who we're talking about now.
Okay. What team did he play for? Maybe we can start there.
No, we play who he played for now. The Oilers.
No, he played for the Oilers last year. Now he plays for Chicago.
God damn.
Signed with them in the offseason.
Can we go back and do the who did he play for? Because I got that. That's I did get right. that right. Yeah. See, I know names.
Just so I'm clear, that was the easy one.
That I would have thought
we are completely screwed. Okay. We are completely well.
Luke Glendening, Sean.
Glendening is a layup for now.
That is it's not a layup, but because I make fun of Luke Glendening, I do know that he's on Dallas.
Yes, he's a Dallas star.
Absolutely. Yeah. For the real Glenheads know exactly where he's playing this year.
Glenheads also big fans of the Misfits.
That's right.
Glen Danzig. It's so funny to me that his first name is Glenn. I'll never get over that.
It's the best.
It's a really funny first name for a guy whose whole deal is being spooky.
All right.
Greg, who does Patrick Nemeth play for?
God damn. He's bounced around like a super happy fun ball in this league. Is he on the Rangers now?
He is on the Rangers. You got it.
All right.
It's 1-1. Sean, who's Brad Richardson play for? And I can give you a hint. Shocking. I was surprised. He's not retired.
I'm surprised that he plays in the NHL. I have no idea. Do you want me to randomly guess a team?
Yeah, go for it.
Devils.
Do we have the ability to steal?
No. You can say, but you don't get a point for that.
It's Calgary because they made a big deal of him being like one of Daryl Sutter's boys.
Daryl Sutter. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That's right. Greg, you're up, right? Yeah. Lars Eller. Where's Lars Eller play these days?
Wait, Lars Eller?
Mm-hmm.
He's a Capital.
That's right.
He's good. Here we're talking about like Luke Glendening. He just gave me like their third line center.
Well, he's only the third line guy on a team that may or may not make the playoffs.
That threw me off because even though it was never said anywhere in the rules, I've just been assuming this would be guys who change teams.
Not always, no.
And I was instantly like, oh, Lars Eller, yeah. Yeah, of course, he's on a new team.
That's the power of the game. Yeah. Like, Lambert could have been like Patrice Bergeron. I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, you're checking Twitter. Oh, damn.
All right. Greg, right? Greg's up? Sean's up.
Sean, yeah.
Back to me.
A little too much crosstalk.
Greg can have it if he wants. I'm absolutely happy.
Andrew Cogliano. Where's Andrew Cogliano playing these days?
Oh, Andrew Cogliano is one of the guys who went to the Sharks.
You got it. That's true.
Yes. Because him and I always get him and Nick Bonino mixed up, and now I don't have to.
That's right. Greg, Kelly Yarncroke.
Oh man. So I always get him and Matthias Yarncroke confused.
Who the fuck is Matthias?
Wait, Yarncroke? Who's the dude that's on Vegas?
The dude that's on Vegas.
The dude got traded to Vegas last
Mark
week.
Mark Stone?
No. Hang on, I'm going to look up, I know the answer, but I'm going to look up Vegas, because I know who I'm thinking of, and I maybe just pronounced his name wrong.
Matthias Janmark?
Yeah, Janmark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always get him and Cal Yarncroke confused. Cal Yarncroke's on the Seattle Kraken.
That's correct, yep. Sean, Vinny Hinostroza.
Oh.
No idea. I will guess... Who's a random-ass team? Florida Panthers?
Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, man, I really thought it was the Panthers, too. Geez. He was there last year,
that
I think, right?
That was the most random-ass team that I could have. And that's frustrating to me because the Sabres were, like, one of my teams that when I knew we were playing this game, I'm like, hey, when in doubt.
Look up, Sabres. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good strategy.
Just say the Sabres.
All right, last one. Derek Brassard, Greg. Where's Derek Brassard at?
Shit. So he was on the Coyotes. Then he was like he was helping out the Penguins.
Well, was he? He was on the Penguins. I don't know. I don't know how much he was helping.
Is he in Ottawa?
No, he's in Philadelphia.
Apparently. Oh,
it says
all right.
Here Philadelphia. I couldn't have told you that, but
well, he was in Ottawa, right? And I think that
He started in Ottawa. That was
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Did he? Okay,
yeah, because he was the Zibanejad trade,
right?
Now I got to look and see if he went back. He did not go back. So Ottawa,
yeah.
Wait,
I get him and Derek Stepan mixed up.
Okay, no.
It shouldn't, but...
This is... Okay. This guy, I fucking couldn't have told you this with a gun to my head. So, he didn't start with Ottawa, of course. He started his career decline with Ottawa is what I guess I meant to say. I completely forgot that he spent several years playing for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, that's right.
He got traded to the Rangers. Then the Rangers traded him to Ottawa, and then he went from Ottawa to Pittsburgh.
That was the Zibanejad trade.
Yeah. Then he went to Pittsburgh. Terrible trade. Then in 1819, he played for the Penguins, the Panthers, and the Avalanche. Again, completely forgot he played for the fucking Avalanche. And Panthers, for that matter.
Can
2 years ago with the Islanders, last year with the Coyotes. This guy has been around.
Can I ask you a medical question? I know both of you are qualified. Mm-hmm. Me not remembering most of this, is that early onset dementia or a symptom of it being Derek Brassard?
I think Derek Brassard couldn't tell you what team he's played, how many teams. This is fucking
that is
wild.
That is an all time. Do we not talk about the Zibanejad trade enough as bad
an all timer? No.
I don't even know all-timer, but cap-era bad trades. Because here's the thing. They traded Mika Zibanejad for Derek Brassard. They also, Ottawa gave up a second-round pick in that trade, which the Rangers used on Condrey Miller. So, and it's not like Zibanejad was some out of nowhere. Like, he had been the sixth overall pick just a few years earlier.
Yeah, that was one of those things where it's like, oh, does he have what it takes to really stick around in the league? Because he's interested in things like being a DJ, and, you know, they just ran him out of town because of all that shit.
Mm.
But I gotta look this up. Do I have to add Derek Brassard to the fucking journeyman game?
Mm.
I feel like I have, because that's guys who have played for a minimum of 8 teams. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh boy, he's up to fucking 9 teams.
Wow.
This will be his 9th team since 2007-08. That is crazy. And I would have bet $1 million that he played for the Oilers last year for some reason. I don't know why. But
did I win the game?
Sure. That sounds right.
Oh, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, I have one more, but I'm happy to just let...
Oh, no, go ahead. What is it? Let's play it.
Oh, no, I don't have another guy. Hold on. I'll pull another guy. Hold on here.
Oh, that's fine.
No, Sean said he really wants you to continue playing. He said
So I'm going to. Let me see here. All right, where is Robbie Fabry playing these days? Another guy who's bounced around a lot.
Oh, okay.
In
so
my
who,
head, anyway. I don't know if he actually has, but...
Wasn't it him who got robbed by Fleury the other night? But who were they...
who were they playing?
Yeah. Is Detroit?
Yeah, it's Detroit.
There you go. It's Detroit, baby.
Yeah. A guy who I thought bounced around, but just St. Louis and Detroit. Says here.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that's Puck Soup for this week. My God, we really, again, spanned the globe. We started out with some serious shit and got into some goofy shit and then ended it with previews and then with a game show. It was like there's probably a Dom from the Athletic chart that could be drawn to show the path of this really strange show. By the way, shout out to Dom for 100,000 words of preview.
That's crazy.
He does such a good job.
And he does it all knowing that any team he says isn't like a 100-point team, the beat writer for The Athletic is going to be like, now, you know, Dom said, I don't want you all to get mad at Dom, but he said this team's going to suck shit this year. I would be so fucking pissed if I was Dom, where it's like, every team I say is bad, like, one of my fucking coworkers is going to shiv me over it. Like, fuck off.
It's become like the Dom extended universe, where when he writes his previews, now, like, Ian and other people write articles based on the preview. And, like, either rebuke it or like, talk about why it's right. It's become very interesting. All these little offshoots.
And then the best is, like, in the comments of the beat writer offshoot, everyone's like, he doesn't even know the depth chart. Like, he said that this guy was going to be Ed. Like, he gets the depth chart usually from the beat writers. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
What's interesting about his model versus others is I was told that his model... really relies on like last year's goaltending data, while other models take into account like a number of different years. Is one big difference between the two, which is why I think he's got the Flyers like way down the low, while others think that maybe if they get a rebound from Carter Hart, they could be a bit better. But he acknowledges that in a lot of the write-ups too. If you again, not to you guys all know Dom, he's fucking great. Like if you're not signed up for The Athletic, worth the price. Whatever price they're giving you these days for signing up for Dom's stuff, not only the preview stuff, but also the stuff throughout the season. He's one of my single favorite writers on the planet for show. Also, not to I know I said earlier I don't listen to other hockey podcasts, and I don't, but I made an exception for the new CJ podcast with Julian.
This is all falling apart very quickly.
With Julian McKenzie.
The House of Lies.
CJ's podcast with Julian McKenzie, where he discussed his departure from Sportsnet from a kind of a media nerd perspective, was really, really interesting. Super interesting to hear how that whole thing played out. And props to CJ for being a man of his own industry. Like, he is now writing for one place and podcasting for another place and doing TV for a third place. And I was talking to another writer the other day who's kind of on that same track, and they're like, yeah, it's going to probably be the wave of the future, is everybody sort of diversifying their portfolios. And CJ was well ahead of the curve in that. And again, like, one of our favorite people, and we're always very happy when good things happen to good people, and him getting that that spot on TSN on the insider trading thing. One, he's fucking great at it, and two, I think I couldn't be happier that things worked out the way they did for him.
Can we also say, did we mention this earlier, that Drager reported this morning that, like, Eichel shit is moving now?
Yeah, I mean,
did we say that? I feel like
I don't know if we did or we didn't, but I mean, that's what you hope when Pat Brisson's involved. Like,
well, that, and I think the Laner thing kind of gave it a nice shove in that direction. Because
I think that's reading too much into it. I think the, like Drager said, the availability of Eichel's medical records for these teams, I think, is more pressing than anything else.
Yeah, and that had been something that multiple people had brought up in the last couple of weeks. That, like, yeah, Buffalo's not giving out his medical records, and it's like, oh, you would think they would do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, listen, got to run. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Raycon and Brooklinen for sponsoring the show. You could read my stuff at ESPN.com. My God, huge Alex Ovechkin feature I dropped on Wednesday. Thursday is the column. Friday, season previews, all from your boy. Monday and Tuesday, obviously, a lot of preview stuff on ESPN with all your favorite writers and personalities giving their picks and stuff.
Wow, Dom's going to be there?
And then Tuesday, I will be involved in the opening night presentation of stuff. So look for details on that. I'll be in Bristol for it. And it's super fun. Thanks for all the support. And and thank you so much, my God, for reading the six teams that should change their jersey shit. Because that was a fucking blockbuster. And the bosses really liked it. So thank you, everybody who consumed that content.
People eat that shit up, Greg, and they should. That's fun. Okay. EPRingside.com. If you use the code ILOVEEP, all one word, when you sign up for an annual subscription only, it does not work for monthly, it's annual only, ILOVEEP, you get 3 months tacked onto your year subscription for free. And I have been writing a lot this past week. I wrote about the Stars. I wrote about Vancouver with the RFAs. I'm doing top five guys I think are going to be in the trophy conversations for every major award. No Lady Bang, that sort of thing. But no Mark Messier Leadership Award.
Hey,
Are they still doing that? I don't know.
I'll ask.
Anyway, okay.
Think they are.
Wow, incredible. Anyway, I didn't write an article about that one. So I'm doing a whole lot of shit. I started my college hockey coverage on there this week. College hockey season started on Saturday, this past Saturday. So check it all out. I'm doing a whole shitload of hockey writing over there these days.
You can find me at The Athletic. I have my big 32-team season preview, which is not quite 100,000 words, but it was up there.
We'll get them next year.
Yep. We're going to have got a couple posts coming later this week, including the return of the prediction contest. So if you played that last year and you've been asking me if it's back, it is. And if you missed it last year, this is your chance to get in. It's a similar format, but with an additional twist that people are going to either love or hate. And then I'll have my oddly specific predictions next week as well. So get in now. I think it's 50% off new subscribers. If you want to support me or Dom, Dom's stuff is great.
Yeah.
If you want to support Dom, go to one of my articles and click on the subscribe link on my article. And I will tell Dom that it was for him.
I love it.
And check out my Thursday podcast with Ian Mendez on the Athletic Hockey
Show. Awesome. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to whatever commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Puck Soup.